back with another round of the Geek Whisperers. I'm Matthew Brender.
And I'm Amy Lewis.
And I'm John Mark Troyer.
And we are excited to dive into one of those conversations that we keep coming back to because it's just so interesting, like how different organizations are involved in social. But also, we're going to get talking about John's company a little bit, and we're happy to have Rick Blythe on the line. Rick, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome. Pleased to be here.
So, Rick, thank you so much for joining us, and why don't you tell us a little about what you do at VMware?
Okay, Matt. My official title at VMware is Social Media Program Manager, and in that role, I monitor social media channels. I'm a social media guy, but what's interesting about my job is that who I report to and how the approach or the management that's above me and the direction that that we take it.
Fantastic. Well, you already foreshadowed it. So, we've talked about this a lot here on the Geek Whisperers, but where do you report up to in your organization?
So I report up through the knowledge management team. And there's a bit of a backstory to that. I actually started at VMware as a technical support engineer. So I sat in the seat on the front lines taking support calls from customers for the enterprise products. And the knowledge management team at VMware gets most of its content for KB articles from TSEs. And the way they do that is, well, any TSE can actually write a KB or submit a KB for review. But what the knowledge management team does is every 6 months, a new set of, call them technical writers, but really they are handpicked TSEs, technical support engineers, that come and do a rotation on the knowledge management team. And what their job is to do is to vet all the KBs that are coming in from TSEs and make sure it's technically accurate. They get a crash course in technical writing, and so we get a ton of KBs coming through. It's a really, there are, I think about, well, I'm going to guess at about somewhere around a dozen of these every 6 months.
Oh, nice.
One for sort of every specialty in the products that we have.
And I forget, did we define KB? It's an entry in our knowledge base.
Yeah, it's an article. We call them articles, and they are, basically break fix articles, how to fix something that has gone wrong in your environment.
I think by gone wrong, you mean opportunities to improve. Sorry.
No, often shit that's broken.
Yeah, shit that's broken. That's fair.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to do spin. I did a rotation on this team. And they discovered some back talents that I had. I've blogged in the past. I know my way in and out of WordPress. I was already on Twitter and that sort of thing. And they discovered some things that I brought to the table, and they kept me.
This sounds hostile.
Yeah, and I'm forever grateful.
Oh,
one of the things that the KB didn't do in the beginning could not do was to be indexed by Google. We, for some reason, had the whole knowledge base inside of an iframe. And Google, at least at that point in time, would not even look inside of an iframe. And so all of our KB content was invisible to Google. Everybody, it caused a lot of people to have to call into support. Because
wow.
They couldn't fix things themselves. So at the same time, management at in Global Services had this great idea to get somebody in social media. So it all kind of came together quickly, and all of a sudden I was in the seat of being the social media guy.
It's a common pattern, Rick. I think we all kind of have backed into this one way or the other, and suddenly find ourselves. To stretch the metaphor, suddenly flying forward? I don't know. That's a bad metaphor. Anyway.
Yeah, so here I was going to take a totally, a right turn in my career and kind of put the technical, geeky stuff a little bit to the side and do this whole new thing. So the way we've kind of fashioned it is in a two-pronged approach. One, I have sort of two sets of identities, really, if you will, in my seat. One of them is, really strictly about promoting the knowledge base itself. And I will broadcast every single knowledge base article that is published as it's published out on Twitter. So first thing I did is set up almost it's not completely automated. It's still a bit manual, but every new knowledge base article as it's published gets tweeted out. And that's on VMware KB. The other thing I do is act as a bit of a concierge for all the other stuff that doesn't really know where to land. And so it's a bit more of a customer service role. And to handle that, I go under the VMware Cares moniker. So that one is a lot more, there's a lot more engaging with customers there. There'll be back and forth conversations while I direct them to whatever it is that they're looking for. The knowledge base side is, like I say, more of a broadcast mechanism.
Yeah, but
people are still allowed to ask technical questions there, and I do get a lot of technical questions. If I don't know the answer to their questions directly, I have all of those KB writers that I spoke about to, since they are now on my team, I have direct access to them for any specific question.
So, Rick, a few things you said that really caught my attention. So, first, I should say, full admission, I started out in this wild world of social in a very similar fashion. I did what was essentially a customer-facing role, and I think it's a very interesting model and a very I love the story you're telling of you had this knowledge and you had these experiences and ways of communicating and doing customer service. And it is hats off to you. It's a very difficult position to be in to keep up that level of technical knowledge and to be customer friendly. So good on you. But I love what you talked about in terms of the curation aspect, the sort of curatorial aspect, because, we have all these tools and we think about big data, but really, people interfacing with it helps that much more in terms of, especially in times of wanting a problem solved. So I think that for me is the intersection of this kind of customer service role that evolved and social media. It really is the social aspect that makes the customer service part work. What do you think about that? What do you think about that in terms of the balance you have between the data and the articles and the actual human touch that you bring and your team brings?
Yeah, well, I kind of look at it from the customer's reactions, and they are usually floored by the fact that we're doing this. And I'll see tweets like, "Hey, Microsoft, why aren't you doing this?" Stuff like that. They're usually just so happy to actually get somebody, and they just want to be pointed somewhere. And it's such a win-win. It's just a no-brainer to be doing this.
It's a little bit of a different pattern since we're still talking about org chart. A more common pattern, if you just had to draw it out without knowing our organization, would be, well, let's spin up somebody in customer support, which is different than technical support. And they will answer, they will say, they will tell people that we're sorry. This is kind of the model of some companies with big customer support teams like Comcast, which famously founded Comcast Cares. Do you have any thoughts on how that would or wouldn't work for our organization, having customer support instead of technical support be the first point of contact here?
Yeah, it totally could work. What you have to watch is that it doesn't become scripted, because as soon as it does, it loses its worth.
Most of the questions that come in more technical than customer support?
Well, there's going to be a number of people that just are having a problem with the portal, or they can't find their licenses and that sort of thing. And I still try to give them a bit of a human flavor to the responses. It's not, there's no two alike. It's like snowflakes.
That's as true as it is cheesy in the other. But you're right. We've talked about this so much here that the real core of social is that it can't feel like, hi, welcome to tech support. This is so-and-so. Thank you for tweeting me. It just immediately disengages anyone. So I'm so glad to hear that you're bringing personality to these handles that you DJ.
Yeah, because otherwise it might as well be an automated voice system, right? Where you get exactly. lost in this infinite loop. And I think one of the, again, I've named names here before and I'll do it again. I think some of the companies that have gone foot first on using Twitter and other social platforms to problem solve have made a name for themselves in that. And I would say that VMware is definitely amongst that crew in terms of you came out very strong in terms of, you know, I mean, it's a business decision, right? I think about the Zappos story, for instance, where instead of cutting back on customer service, he floored it, right? So that was what Zappos wanted to be known for. Or Delta, very well known for very, very quick Twitter response. So their Twitter response continues to be fast, but I will say I've noticed since they've gotten that reputation that they are in some ways less useful than they have been. They've shifted a little more into being like a voicemail system you get caught in. So the idea that you're a person backing this knowledge and again curating that old school job of a librarian is fantastic, because that's kind of what you want when there's a problem.
Oh, and I also think it's such a blessing that the knowledge base is owned by somebody who is really social first. Correct me if I'm wrong, Rick, but it really seems like your job is first social, second support. Or am I actually just seeing what I want to see?
My job is completely social. The only writing that I do now is for the Support Insider blog.
Oh, nice.
And we're on Facebook as well, and now just starting up in Google Plus.
That's fantastic. That's a commitment. You know, that is saying this is the role, and we want you to be a person.
So, John, as somebody that you know, you're seen, whether you like the term or not, you're the evangelist in many ways of the VMware brand, and you know what Rick does, maybe even better now than you did before he got on the line. How do you see that benefiting the strategy that you take with the V experts and the advocacy, the influencers, and the community that you foster?
Well, let's see. My team is also in charge of a kind of our corporate voice at VMware. And, you know, VMware Cares is our specialty support account. But a lot of people don't know it exists, and you know, the natural thing when you have a problem is just to tweet at VMware or to go over to the VMware Facebook page and you know, say you have a problem. And a lot of new customers may not even know about VMTN, the community troubleshooting forums. And so, I mean, we work closely with Rick. We end up tossing Rick a lot of hot potatoes. So if it's a if it's a question we can answer, we answer it. A lot of times we tell people that they would be better off answering, especially on Facebook, we just tell them to go to the forums. But if it's a specific question, we'll go over and assign it you know, via various systems over to Rick, and he will take it like as if it was asked to VMware Cares. So we work really closely together, and it's an important part of customer satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
We're a big enough company. We don't want people. We're not perfect, and we can talk about SLAs. But I don't know. We don't want just people shouting at us and not answering. I don't know, Rick. What do you?
Yeah.
I don't even know what the question is. But
well, I'll take a step back then, real quick, and say that this really hits on a lot of themes we like to talk about, like where does social sit? It sounds like it doesn't just sit in the outbound kind of voice marketing world that John sits in, but Rick also has this angle that's very social, but very much it's after the sale. It's that continued engagement to keep people involved. And then you're hitting like the principles of inbound marketing through visibility. And it's a little bit of like the nuts and bolts or the sausage behind our hub and spoke models that we've talked about numerous times, that you have a spoke, a great advocate in the KB realm, which is pretty pivotal because the most, back to Amy's famous phrase, nature abhors a vacuum. If somebody has trouble troubleshooting a problem, they're going to want to find the solution. So all the dots surprisingly connect well. I mean, Rick, is that what it looks like from the inside? Do you feel like you feel well connected with the overall org? Or
I do. The hub and spoke thing is right. It comes to me from the main VMware accounts as a task, and then I have the same hub and spoke model right in my chair. So I have resources at my disposal in any given direction. So I can reach every single expertise in the technical areas. I have contacts into escalation teams. I have contacts into licensed experts. It's a big organization, and there's a lot of places where sometimes I don't know the immediate direction to take, but I find out. We have a great internal tool called SocialCast, and it's a fantastic tool for finding people within the organization.
Shameless plug. I like it.
So what do you continue your professional track? Because I often feel a little split when I'm doing my research to kind of do professional growth. So a mix of, you know, what's trending in social, what's happening technically. What do you look at? What sort of case studies, who do you admire? How do you hone the craft and further the organization for anybody who's looking at taking their support in this way and making it social? What would you recommend?
Wow. I did start with reading Frank Eliasson, I think that's how you say his name, mm-hmm. with Comcast Cares, and I thought he was doing really great things in the beginning, and that's how I tried to model myself. It's grown so much on itself. And everybody in my organization is so into it that we all just kind of marvel at it and figure out what's the next thing we can do? What's the next coolest thing we can do? And we've made the knowledge base, which is usually the driest piece of reading in the world. We've added the Facebook Open Graph Protocol stuff to that. We've internally, the knowledge base has the SocialCast. I forget the name of the plugin, but there's a direct way that all those articles then become a conversation right on the article. We're doing a lot of video. We make browser toolbars. We're just always looking for how do we touch customers, and how do we find out their concerns?
I think that's fascinating. It kind of relates to a point I think I made about our core corporate social media team at VMware, which is that we're all kind of coders and web developers, because I think so much of social, I mean, part of it is talking to people, but it's still such a wild west that part of it is being able to, like we whipped up a little Instagram page for VMworld last year in a couple of days, taking, you know, tag things from Instagram and putting it up on the VMworld page. And if you don't have that technical capability to do stuff like that, the stuff that you were just talking about, to make an app or to make a toolbar or to hook sharing buttons, you know, if it takes you 6 months to put sharing buttons into a page, you're just really hobbled. So, Rick, I'm really impressed with kind of the I think, again, you guys are, I mean, I know you guys don't do all the development yourself, but, you know, just the you have the technical chops to, you're not,
well,
and,
I'm, yeah, I'm you're not just a CSR. Here.
Yeah, go for it.
Which is, I'm going to totally agree with you and say, if you are agency dependent, you're going to be, you're not ever going to get ahead. It doesn't mean that one day you won't job something like that out, but I agree. If we're talking about prescriptively what you might do if you're taking this kind of team social or you want to build this model out, that balance of skill set, that sort of old web dev, which is, again, my background. We were making jokes about various platforms, and I'm being miserable about the loss of PHPBB, which are words I never thought would come out of my mouth. But I think if you don't have some of that Wild West in you, you don't do the kind of innovation that in the end will serve the customer. So I love that one of the skill sets it sounds like to look for is both that creative problem solving, that Wild West mentality a little bit. And if you got to job it out eventually, get it done, great. But if you're agency dependent, and I'm really going to get killed for this, sorry, I heart all of you agencies. But if that's your only means, if you don't know how to direct the agency won't know how to serve you. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, I make it the equivalent of going to a mechanic. I really don't want to know much about how my car works. I'm really happy somebody else is a specialist in that. But when I bring it in there, if I don't have some expectation of what might be going on and approximately how much it would cost, I should expect that the person on the other side is not going to be able to do their best job, and thus the price will go up because we'll have to iterate more until we figure out what in the world I was trying to talk about. And this the same falls true for agency interactions. That way, that's why some technical aptitude is just seemingly pivotal, especially as we talk about how the marketing organization, which I'm presuming we're somewhat all connected to, at least Rick as well, the marketing organization these days is spending more on IT than any other part of a enterprise business. So yeah. The technical aptitude, I mean, that's a commonality between all four of us on the line here. And it's really interesting to see that as part of your recipe, Rick, that you're not scared to dig into the HTML or PHP or whatever you're doing to add some possibly OAuth or whatever you're looking for. It's just that yeah. Doesn't terrify you.
It doesn't, but you have to be also ready to not succeed with everything you try. Everything's an experiment. Everything's an experiment.
Yeah, we still got some plugins we need to work on, Rick. Sorry about that. Hey, so Rick, so you talked about everyone's happy with it and everyone's experimenting. What's been the reaction internally into your management chain? And do you guys do formal ROI, or how do you approach the ROI question?
Yeah, that's always a tricky one. In the beginning, it was the straight, you know, numbers of followers, likes, everything that is just it doesn't say anything.
It's easy to measure, though.
Yeah, it's easy to measure.
I'm giving you some amen hands out here in podcast land. It's yeah. Just because you can count it doesn't mean that says anything.
Yeah,
right. That also doesn't give you the out of not trying to find what would be an insightful metric that is actionable.
Yeah. Well, also
that's fine.
And it also doesn't mean that if VMware Cares had 50 followers, we would be doing a good job.
Yeah. Or that you have 5,000 and you're doing a bad job. It's all quite relative to the audience.
That's fine. I'm still going to say counting doesn't solve everything.
I just
fight.
We rabble.
We violently agree with you, Rick. Anyway, so sorry, we cut you off.
Yeah, so we've gone as much beyond that as we can currently. We try to measure engagement in our own way. We look at a number of things. Did somebody comment on a blog post? We call that an engagement, and it's worth a point. We call answering a tweet and helping somebody out an engagement. And I think engagement is better than just, you know, followers, because at least you know that there's somebody on the other end of it. The other thing we try to work on is actual accessibility of our content. So, and what we mean by that is, one, is it findable in Google? Is it findable on our own search engine? Is it consumable? Is it understandable? Does it lend itself to being explained in more than one way? So that's where our KBTV channel comes in. Does it deserve a blog post to give some context? Because just straight symptoms and resolution doesn't tell the whole story. And those KB guys, they have pretty strict rules about what they allow into the actual KB. It's pretty dry reading.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that answer the question?
I think so. I'm curious. So do you actually report the engagement number up to management?
I do. I also capture, when somebody gives a real thumbs up to what we're doing, I capture those little anecdotal kudos, if you will, and send those up every month.
Yeah, sometimes a story is a lot more powerful than a number.
They like to see the wins.
Do you have any particular sort of SLA that you try to adhere to? You're just one guy and you work on East Coast time out of Canada.
I'm actually more than that now.
Oh, okay.
We have someone in Cork, Ireland, who is picking up the early hours for me in the day. And we also have somebody in Palo Alto who is adding to the end of my day. So I am more than 9 to 5. And we also have some weekend coverage out of Cork, Ireland. So, it's not really advertised what the SLA is. We don't really put ourselves to any KPI on that. But we're growing and we need to scale, and the expectations from the customers start to grow once they know we're there. And
oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
But it sounds like management is bought in that this is valuable, or you wouldn't be getting headcount covering more times. So that's fantastic. Sure. What do you see from your fellow business units? Like when you do, say, route a problem that could potentially be an enhancement request to a product in the field. Do you feel like you have a decent visibility into something that could end up being actionable, or is it still a bit more hit or miss?
When it comes to product feature requests or, just complaints about us versus Microsoft or something like that, I'm not overly concerned with those per se. They're from a support seat, there's not a lot I can do. I definitely forward the information to product managers or whoever might be an interested party. But I do keep my blinders on and try to stay focused and just within my realm. I don't deal with absolutely everything.
We are a big enterprise organization. We do have paid support that's quite expensive. And also, we're mostly talking about Twitter, although Facebook and Google Plus too. All of them, obviously, in public, limited pipe, to limited number of characters to be talking back and forth with. Do you actually, what's the relationship between what you do and then the more kind of process-oriented support request system processes that we have?
Yeah, so I officially do not attempt to do tech support over any of the channels. I try to find self-help for the customers, point them to the answer that they're looking for. And so there might be a couple of to and fros, say, in a Twitter conversation doing that. If that isn't going anywhere, then I'll either suggest that they formally open a support request, or I direct them to the community forums. And I try to find the actual forum in the communities that is going to be relevant to them. So I don't just drop them at the top level.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a twisty maze. We have a lot of forums, a lot of products. So,
well, what are you going to do about that, John?
Dude, I am no longer the program manager or the product manager for that. So we're working on it. We're working on it.
Fantastic. Hmm. Well, I think we covered a lot of bases here. So we've gone from knowledge base to social and really saw that social and knowledge base need not be mutually exclusive at all. If anything, you're showing an example of how to do it well. And that technical is viable even in the social world as a skill set, and that org charts can be pretty interesting. The hub and spoke can extend in ways that just make a lot of sense depending on what the job roles are in a given division.
So, Rick, of things, again, pretending you're going to help someone, another company who's interested, listening to this, thinking about setting something like this up, what would you say lessons learned the hard way? I always enjoy hearing what you will never, ever do again.
Ha.
You have to stay away from some conversations. So if it's looks like a nasty conversation that you can't win, don't even go there. I've got one fellow who is just a nasty hater. There's one feature of one product he demands that we fix for him. And every time he hits this glitch that he doesn't like, he sends me pictures of dead kittens.
Seriously?
Like literally dead kittens?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
That so violates the Twitter mandates. Yeah.
So I have to deal with that. That's fun. I have a thick skin. What else? One of the challenges is finding all those places in the company that is the correct contact to deal with something that's come in and I don't know where it needs to go. So that's just a process of gaining more and more contacts and reaching out and getting names and building lists.
It's not necessarily something for that you can stick an intern on or the most junior staffer, right?
No.
You've been here for a while. You have to figure all that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything else?
There's one other thing that we haven't touched on yet, and that is when things go really wrong on in social. So in my seat, I also am searching constantly for that really bad event that nobody wants to see. So it's happened, you know, once or twice. We've put out software that has an unexpected bug or something, and suddenly the Twitter sphere lights up with people ranting. And it's sort of my job to get that information in front of higher levels of management quickly. And if it happens, we quickly put together war rooms. I don't want to get too deep into it, but it all comes together very quickly, and we will start monitoring for things like that almost around the clock.
Hey, I have a...
That's one of the most important things, actually. Sorry, to have a get-well plan. I've had that conversation before many times, is you can't... Part of a social strategy out the door, and especially in something like this, I think that's very well stated, is you must have... Just like you have the hotel exit plan in case of fire in every hotel and you hope to never use it, it is equally true in social. So I think that it's very, very wise to say, to seek the problems and know how you're going to escalate and what you're going to do with them. And to know how to avoid which pitfalls are simply going to lead to dead kittens. I mean, that could not be a clearer story.
Seriously. Well, I'm interested. You're talking about monitoring, and while we don't dig too much into this, I still like to know, are there any enterprise-level tools that you use to do that?
We can talk about what we have now, but actually, how did you start? Did you start without enterprise tools? He said, knowing that I don't think you did. But
yeah, no, I started with TweetDeck, like most people.
May it rest in peace.
Yeah, and... I still kind of rely on some of my old, my own tools, because I'm doing a lot of searching. I'm it's easy to see the inbound messages. Somebody knows you by name already. But as John said before, not a lot of customers still know that we have this and that I exist. So I have columns and columns of searches that I am looking for, both love and hate of VMware and technical terms related to the products and that sort of thing. So I'm looking for them. And when I find them, I reach out.
Very cool.
One of the favorite stories I heard from someone I ended up hiring for an internship and still works for the company now, I said, you know, tell me your worst story. Because I didn't hire anybody. I ran a customer service, a web-based customer service division. And I said, tell me your worst story. And she worked for a company at the time and, you know, famous consumer brand. And she said, sometimes you have to decide if you want to make them a customer for life or you just don't want them to call the regional manager. And I hired her on the spot. And I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a rule of thumb as well, as there's a certain point where you have to figure that out. You know, what's the outcome?
Yeah, it's a whole lot easier just to ignore something, but that's never the right thing.
Except for the certain people you should not engage with because you're never going to be able to help them. So, Rick, are there any other, since we're still on tools, maybe, were there any other tools that you are your particular favorites right now that you like?
I'm using Radian 6 to look at the landscape from the 30,000-foot level. I don't find it that useful for actual engagement.
No.
We are now using Spreadfast. I still prefer a tool that I've been using for a while called Sprout Social, and it really nicely works with a small team. And gives me my stats the way I like them, and that is all of them in a CSV download that's all aggregated and has all kinds of goodies in it. So I'm going to stick with that one until I see Spreadfast beat it out, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, nice. Hey, I was actually just listening to a podcast from Frank Elias on yesterday on the podcast called the Social Pros Podcast. He's actually now over at Citi, trying to help them worldwide. And he was pointing out, because God knows he was at Comcast being beaten up all the time, that social is really about your whole customer experience, your whole user experience, right? You, not like a CSR in Atlanta can help me if my cable's out, right? They can say I'm sorry, they can give me some outage stuff, or that my bill is screwed up, right? Those kind of companies make mistakes and they know it, and they try to make fewer mistakes. That's much better to make fewer mistakes than to just say you're sorry on Twitter. He was like, look, all the social support in the world, you know, social support doesn't work, right? It's just not, you're reactive and you're just fixing broken things. So it's a little bit different in technology. But I don't know, Rick, we talked a little bit about this, but you've got the blog. You are also kind of proactively communicating. Yeah, and do you have any thoughts about being proactive versus reactive? And you know, both for emergencies, I know you send out alerts, as well as just kind of proactively sending out information.
Well, certainly alerts are something that we have very a strict process around now. And an alert is when Global Services issues an article that to address a situation where there might be data loss or anything of that severity. We will create a knowledge base article that will be the central point of real-time updates to that. So an article is created, an article will be updated as time comes along. Proactively, even before that alert comes out, I might just send out some tweets saying that an alert is coming for users of X product. Heads up, something is critical is coming.
Very wise.
I just get their ears up. When the time comes, every channel is open. I am blogging about that KB article. I'm tweeting about it. I'm actually asking for retweets at that point. And LinkedIn, everything I've got to get that message out. And we'll also use paid promotions on Facebook. And I mean, heck, maybe even an AdSense, an AdWords ad.
So it's really comprehensive across the social portfolio. I'm impressed. I really like it, and it's great to see a little further behind the scenes of VMware. Well, I mean, we have the pinnacle of evangelism on the line with us every week, but it's nice to see how some of the rest of the social soup is. Was that too much, John? No.
yeah, you don't need that. Anyway, go on.
No.
But
go for it.
I also enjoy, I like that outbound kind of thought there, because again, and as we talk about where things sit and look at this holistically, be it a large or smaller company, I think this is within people's reach to scale to their needs, which is pretty exciting as well, that you can use these listening tools that are available. Because Rick, I love your true admissions here. There are a number of enterprise and corporate tools available, but you're using some other tools that are more accessible to the everyday user, and then taking that information and really turning it into outbound positive marketing. Because I'm a big fan of the very old book called Complain as a Gift, and I know we've talked about this before, but it's that concept of you have to look at it as an opportunity. And everybody's interaction with your brand is your brand identity now, no matter how big or small. And social just kind of turns up that amplifier. But in the same breath, it means that you can fight as well with tools available to all of us.
Right. Yeah. If they care enough to complain, that means they care enough to be potentially converted.
Absolutely. And that's where it's actually fun, because once you see it as an opportunity, it actually becomes a challenge, and you want to make that into a win rather than a complaint.
That's fantastic. Well, any final commentary from the Geek Whisperer crowd?
This was interesting, because I work with Rick, right, and we've known each other for years, but I'm sitting here impressed. And going in, I was thinking about, like we talked about, all the things that his team does. But I'm impressed, Rick, with how much kind of autonomy you have to make things right. And this, I guess we touched on it a little earlier, but this isn't a rote customer service representative job. This is really, I think it works best when it is somebody like you who is knowledgeable, you know, and has judgment. I mean, I take it you have to use your own judgment every single day, right?
You cannot job this out to the college intern. I know we say that all the time, but this is not...
But we mean it here.
Just because the kids these days like the Twitters, this is a real job. Your brand is on the line, and you should give it to people like Rick, who obviously have good judgment and constant creativity about ways to solve those problems.
I am always seeing other companies react to people on Twitter or Facebook, and it makes me cringe.
Yeah. Yeah. And none of us on this line want that to be us. And we're quite thankful. I mean, Rick, you've given Amy and I a lot to think about. And also John, too. He seems just as inspired as the other two of us to see that, hey, we do some pretty cool things at VMware. So with that, Rick, want to thank you so much. You can get at Rick at VMware Cares or at VMware KB. We'll give links to the blog as well. And we want to thank you for listening to another great round of the Geek Whisperers.
You've been listening to the Geek Whisperers podcast, where we bring social media and community to enterprise IT. You can listen to all the episodes at our website, geek-whisperers.com, or check us out on Twitter, Facebook, or iTunes. Your hosts were John Mark Troyer, Amy Lewis, and Matthew Brender, better known on Twitter as J. Troyer, Comms Ninja, and MJ Brender. See you next week.